And now I turn to my guest for this portion and the next segment on America's Dining and Travel Guide. What a nice book you and your partner Norm Burke have written. Stanley Ginsberg, welcome.
Thank you, Pierre. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Where are you calling from, Stanley?
I live in San Diego.
Uh-huh. And your partner?
My partner, Norm, lives in the Bronx.
In the Bronx. Now, how did you two get together, first of all?
Well, actually, the interesting thing is that our relationship started out as an online relationship.
Oh, really?
We were both members of a baker's website. And I had been thinking about writing this book for some time. I'm at a point in my life now where I'm going back and thinking about how things have changed over my lifetime. And
you are not alone, Stanley.
Yes, I know. I've discovered that since the book came out also. But one of the things that I really missed was just, you know, where to get, go out and just get a good onion roll or get a piece of Russian coffee cake or a bialy or something like that. And, you know, it's hard enough to come by back east, but out in San Diego, forget it. It's just impossible to find. So I was thinking about this for some time, and Norm and I were both on this baker's website, and he identified himself as a retired baker. And so I said, okay, Mr. Retired Baker, you know, give me your recipe for onion rolls. And so he did, and they were fantastic. They were just as I had remembered them.
Question, how did he get the recipe for onion rolls?
His recipe for onion rolls,
yeah.
He has notebooks filled with these hand-scribbled recipes.
Handed down from generation to generation, right?
Well, you know, from other bakers, and you know, the guy spent 25, 30 years working in the bakeries, and
uh-huh.
And, you know, he would be working with an older baker who said, look, you know, you want to do it, you do it this way, 20 pounds of flour and 3 pounds of eggs and so on and so forth. And so he would write them down. And so he has thousands and thousands of these recipes. And I think, in fact, we even reproduce one in the book. And so the onion rolls turned out magnificently. And then I said, okay, Mr. Wise Guy, that was good, but how about Russian coffee cake? And so he posted a recipe for Russian coffee cake, and it just knocked my socks off. It was absolutely what I had been missing all these years. And I said, this is the guy I want to write the book with. And so I broached the idea to him, and he said, sure, you think people are going to pay for my formulas? You know, you think it's worth putting in a book? I'll go along with it. And so that started a relationship, and we have been very, very good friends now for the last, about 3 years now.
So your contact was all on the Internet?
It started out entirely on the Internet,
yes.
And then it moved to the phone, and we would also do Internet video calls with each other. And then
Never got together in person?
Actually, yeah, we did. About a year and a half ago, I was back east.
Mm-hmm.
Doing some, you know, having some meetings with the agent and with the publisher and all this other stuff. And Norm and I spent some time together at his place. His wife left for the day so the two guys could be alone. And we just baked all day. We baked our hearts out. And I just sat there and I watched him and I learned from him. And he's just an amazing character.
Now, as far as Brooklyn or other parts of the East, New York, and
yes.
other eastern counties, are there still typical Jewish bakeries around?
There are some.
But they somewhat disappeared over a period of time, huh?
Absolutely. And that, you know, that unfortunately is a problem. One of the things is most of those bakeries can only survive in a Jewish neighborhood. And in fact, most of the ones that I know of now in New York are in the ultra orthodox Jewish neighborhoods. I know of several in Williamsburg, which is a heavily Hasidic area, and that's because, you know, people can walk, and there are enough people walking on the street who want those kinds of products. But the minute you get out to the suburbs and you have to drive, it becomes a whole different story.
What about San Diego and California in general?
San Diego, I live in the northern part of San Diego County. And there are a few individual bakeries, nothing that I would call, well, maybe one that I know of that I would call a Jewish bakery. It's part of a Jewish deli. But there are only a handful of from scratch, independently owned, small, family-run bakeries left.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them now, you go to You go to Costco, you go to Walmart, you go to one of the big supermarkets, and that's where people buy their baked goods.
Now, let's turn to the book for a moment and ask you to stay with me for the next segment, which is coming up in a few moments. The book is called Inside the Jewish Bakery, Recipes and Memories from the Golden Age of Jewish Baking. Stanley Ginsberg on my guest line, and he, along with his partner and co-author Norman Berg, put this book together. So let's go to the contents of the book for a moment. Would you please, Stanley?
Certainly.
Would you
The
contents of the book, would you describe it?
Sure. Well, I would describe it as everything that I saw when I walked into the bakery when I was a kid, all of that wonderful stuff in the display counters and, you know, all of the things that, that when I was a little kid going to the bakeries on Sunday morning with my father, I would whine and beg for and occasionally get, and the things that... as an adult, when I was living in Manhattan, I would be walking home and pass one of those bakeries and look in the window and say, I got to have one of those. And so that's what it was. It was it includes everything. It includes breads and rolls and yeast raised pastries like Danish and things like that, babkas, and then it also includes cakes and cookies.
Now, there's at the beginning of your book is. Vanished worlds. What do you mean by that?
Well, unlike almost every other tradition, you know, German baking, Russian baking, Polish baking, Spanish baking, French baking, Italian baking, those people are still alive and still producing the baked goods in their native countries. The worlds of the European Jews have disappeared. The Holocaust, as we all know, just wiped out millions of people, and so there's hardly anybody who has survived who's still living in Eastern Europe. And then even in the United States, all of those millions of people who came between the 1880s and the 1920s, their children have grown. Most of them have assimilated into mainstream American culture, mainstream American society, and so that. That world is gone as well. The world of my grandparents, who emigrated from Eastern Europe, and the world of my parents, who were upwardly mobile strivers, but still living.
And what has arrived, Stanley, is modern bakery with modern equipment that was not even thought of 50 or 100 years ago.
Exactly.
And if you include that, it made life a little easier and the product perhaps more affordable. Production. By the equipment that is now available to you. We will talk more to Stanley Ginsberg, Inside the Jewish Bakery, a very beautiful put-together book with lovely photography and illustrations. And I'll be back with Stanley right here on America's Dining and Travel Guide. Stanley Ginsberg, his book, Inside the Jewish Bakery, and the recipes and memories from a golden age. But one of the best-known baking Jewish baking articles to be produced for the Sabbath would be the challah. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
So do you devote a little time and give a little background as to what that word challah really means?
Certainly.
And what it is. There are some people out there never heard of it.
Certainly. Well, originally the word challah first shows up in the Bible, in the Torah. As one of the 12 loaves that was kept in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, as part of, in translation, as part of a sign of the covenant between God and the children of Israel. And later on, the term challah meant the sacrificial loaves that were given to the temple. And so today, in order for a bread, and really almost any kind of bread can be used as challah, but it has to be sanctified by the baker taking a small piece of dough and incinerating it separately, baking it separately, and saying certain blessings over it, and that sanctifies it and makes it useful as usable as a Sabbath bread.
Would you say it is the best-known Jewish baking item?
I think, well, as far as breads are concerned, I think that the bagel started out as a Jewish item, but a lot like, you know, Jews in America, the bagel has assimilated into an all-American an all-American
Absolute.
Snack.
Absolutely. Tell me, did that originate in Poland?
The bagel or the challah?
The bagel.
Probably. There's a, you know, there are lots of stories about how it originated, and the best-known story, but it's just a story, is that after a Polish king named Jan Sobieski defeated the Turks in the 1600s, a Jewish baker supposedly made him this round boiled and then baked roll, and it was called a bagel because bagel in Yiddish means a stirrup, and it was supposed to symbolize his horseback attack on the Turks and driving them out of Poland.
Now, when you look through the book, by the way, we can't forget cheesecake because that's a very Jewish item, not just Jewish, but certainly well known in New York, some wonderful places for cheesecake. How are the recipes and stories actually put together in your book?
Well, again, the recipes how are they organized? Or?
Yeah, right. And also the little sidebars that you could describe.
Well, we start with the breads. We start with challah, and then we go to rye bread, and then to some of the other breads, the white breads and sandwich breads, and then we go to the rolls, and then to the yeast pastries, and then the cakes, and then the cookies, and then there's stuff, separate sections on fillings and toppings, and in between, Norm shared a lot of his experiences as a hands-on baker. And so we have one little section about why bakers hate the holidays, because they had to put in 18 to 20-hour days just making thousands and thousands of pounds of cookies, or what a typical day was like starting at 10 o'clock at night and ending at about 8 or 9 in the morning, mm-hmm. baking through the night. And so the idea was really not just to talk about the recipes and not just to create a cookbook, but to create a memory, something that no longer exists for the most part, and something that we believe was worth preserving.
I'm looking at some of the photography. How did you get that accomplished?
We were very fortunate, again, through that same baking website where Norm and I met, we were able to recruit over 100 amateur bakers from literally all over the world. We had people from Australia,
interesting.
And so forth, and they all volunteered to be testers. And so a couple of summers ago, we would send out three or four recipes a week, and these people were just marvelous because they baked the things, they sent us photographs, they filled out evaluation forms and told us where the West's recipes worked and where they didn't. And a lot of the photographs, I have to say, a lot of the photographs were taken of things that I baked by my wife, Sylvia Ginsburg, and... But a lot of the other photographs and some extremely good photographs were all taken by our testers. There was nothing taken that was professionally baked and no professional photographs.
You know, I'm looking at, Stanley, I'm looking at a wonderful photograph, Sweet, Sticky, Crunchy Teglech. I have no idea what that is.
Ah, Teglech are little balls of dough that have been baked. And then they're mixed with candied fruit and with nuts and put into a honey glaze, and they're molded into small little balls, I guess about the size of a baseball. And usually, typically, we ate those around Jewish New Year, around Rosh Hashanah, because you're supposed to eat sweet things around then to usher in a sweet year. And so teglich are again one of those things that I had as a child. I loved them as a child, but not more than once or twice a year, and we were fortunate to have that recipe.
Back to the cheesecake. Anything special about that?
Well, I would say if you're, you know, starting with about 2 pounds of cream cheese and eggs and all sorts of other wonderful things. This particular cheesecake is very dense. A lot of the cheesecakes now are much lighter, because the bakers add whipped egg whites, which lightens it up. But this is a good, solid, heavy New York cheesecake where one little slice will last you all day.
Any other goodies we need to mention out of your wonderful book? And the book, again, is called inside the Jewish bakery, and whether you're Jewish or not. And by the way, what should they prepare for Hanukkah?
Well, Hanukkah.
Anything special?
Well, for Hanukkah, again, generally it's fried foods, and we have a recipe in there for yeast-raised donuts. The Israelis have a jelly donut that is called in Hebrew sufganiyot, and in Yiddish they're called krafen. And that is typical, that along with potato pancakes, which we don't include in the book, but those jelly donuts are definitely a Hanukkah specialty.
Well, I want to thank you very much and wishing you happy holidays, whatever you will celebrate Hanukkah, I'm sure, and tell your partner and co-author, Norm Burke, that he did a beautiful job, along with Stanley Ginsberg. A lovely book makes a great gift, Inside the Jewish Bakery, with recipes and memories of the golden age of Jewish cookery and baking. Thank you very much.